Welcome to today's edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Haley Gilley. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news, and the show starts with a look at California agricultural news. California Cotton Ginners and Growers Association traveled to Sacramento to support the agricultural industry in pushing back on AB 1963. The bill aims to ban the use of paraquat in California, with the authors citing a hypothesis study that aimed to connect paraquat use to increased risk of Parkinson's disease, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and other medical ailments for those exposed. Assemblywoman Friedman also brought in support testimony to speak on behalf of farm workers under constant exposure to paraquat. Following support testimony, opposition witnesses were given the chance to speak. Comments were focused on the importance of use within California's cotton crop, as well as the ironic suggestions by the state for non-chemical alternatives to be used. Promoted alternatives include water-intensive stream generation from combustion engines, as well as tilling the ground while the state attempts to actively encourage low to no-till agriculture. Comments were pointed at the widely unaccepted medical study utilized by the author and also highlighted the substantial environmental and health-based review that registrants are subject to both the federal EPA and the state's Department of Pesticide Regulation. Unfortunately, those points were enough to sway members of the committee who saw the presence of a union activist as a more compelling argument than their own state agency's analysis and move the bill forward. The association will continue to fight against the legislation when it is presented in the Senate. Farmers in the critically overdrafted Tulare Lake subbasin in the San Joaquin Valley are bracing for escalating costs as state and local agencies assess fees on wells and groundwater pumped. The California State Water Resources Control Board last week placed the subbasin on probation as part of regulations under the state's landmark 2014 Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. The board concluded that local agencies' sustainability plans failed to address overdraft by limiting groundwater pumping, land subsidence, and impacts to drinking water. Heavy rainstorms this spring have boosted the state's water supply for farming, but they have dampened farmers' market attendance and crop selection in the immediate term. While grocery stores are already stocking imported summer fruits and vegetables, farmer market produce remains in transition, with many farms still selling cool season offerings such as broccoli, cauliflower, hard squash, beets, and navel oranges. More fragile crops such as strawberries have taken a beating from the wet weather. Facing challenging times, California's almond industry is looking to expand foreign export markets and increase the diversity of almond products in domestic supermarkets. That was the strategic roadmap outlined by Almond Board of California President and CEO Clarice Turner. In a recent media briefing, Turner said that the state's almond sector hopes to grow its array of products, developing demand for innovations from oils to flours to perhaps even almond pastas. The Almond Board is also seeking to grow exports to India and other fast-emerging markets. The U.S. Department of Labor released yet another rule that mirrors farm families in excessive compliance costs while disregarding privacy concerns for farmers and their employees. With this addition, the Department of Labor sets itself apart as the agency most committed to burying farmers and other H-2A employers in a mountain of regulations. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval commented on today's rule and the Department of Labor's track record. Farmers appreciate the men and women who work on their farms, and we don't take lightly the responsibility to ensure their safety and protection. We wholeheartedly support clamping down on labor abuses, but this rule instead assumes all farms are guilty until proven innocent, and that's not right. With this 600-page rule, the Department of Labor has issued a stunning 3,000 pages of new regulations in just 18 months, which farmers are somehow supposed to navigate. In truth, the workers most supported by the Department of Labor are the lawyers needed to interpret the tsunami of new rules that keep moving the goalposts for farmers. California Star Ruby grapefruit season has arrived, and Sunkist is excited to announce a national display contest running through July. This initiative is geared towards retailers to help boost the grapefruit category by promoting its delicious flavors and vital nutrients that enhance overall well-being. International Fresh Produce Association, Citrus, is an important part of the consumer shopping basket right now, As citrus volumes are up 6% midway through April, outpacing total produce and total fruit compared to this same time last year. To build on this momentum heading into the late spring summer months, Sunkist launched a grapefruit-specific study seeking insight into shoppers' overall perception of the variety and the determining factors to make a purchase at the store level. Sunkist National Display Contest is taking place now through July, with prizes awarded to the produce managers of the top three winning stores. Contact your local Sunkist sales rep to learn more about the rules and eligibility and sampling opportunities to encourage trial and prompt purchase in stores. A large delegation of United States trade representatives, led by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, traveled to New Delhi, India this month to advance bilateral trade. Fruit growers from across the country joined the trade mission in hopes of further tapping into the Indian market. The trade delegation included government departments and businesses representing California, Georgia, Idaho, Mississippi, New Mexico, and Minnesota. The trip focused largely on the product categories like cherries and almonds that pose a long-term benefit for the United States trade. Exports of U.S. agricultural goods to India were nearly $2 billion last year, which made India the United States' 13th largest export market. Top exports are dried fruits, ethanol for non-fuel, and cotton. In 2023, India reduced tariffs on 10 agricultural commodities, including almonds, walnuts, apples, blueberries, and cranberries. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that these tariff reductions could increase trade by approximately $345 million this year alone.
By partnering with JCS Marketing Incorporated, your company can achieve 3.5 million impressions to growers, consultants, and industry professionals annually. Our comprehensive media suite, which includes prestigious publications as well as dynamic websites, targeted emails, engaging podcasts, and premier trade shows, provides a strategic platform for targeting key decision makers. This approach can amplify your company's visibility to a specific audience and fosters meaningful connections, positioning your brand at the forefront of the agricultural community. Don't wait for success to come to you. Call our office today at 559-352-4456. That's 559-352-4456.
The Bureau of Reclamation, which operates the Central Valley Project, recently increased water allocations to South of Delta agricultural contractors to 40%, up from 35%. North of the Delta, ag water users will receive 100% of contracts this year. For farmers like Joe Daboski, who has a mix of almonds, cherries, and organic melons near Firebaugh, not knowing what your water supplies will be makes planning tough. It also affects his longtime workers who have seen their hours cut or, worse, jobs eliminated. Dalboski said the situation is especially frustrating when state reservoirs are brimming with water and Sierra snowpack is near or slightly above normal this year. Last year, all water users received 100% allocations.
This year, we have our typical acreage of cantaloupes, honeydews, and watermelons. We also have our almonds, and we have some cherries. Oh, also, we do have some wheat that we use as a rotation crop, by the way. It's tough to do. I mean, we try to take care of our core crops first, which is our melons and our almonds and our cherries. Last year, as a result of the extra water, we were able to go out and plant some tomatoes. That's something that we hadn't done for a number of years because of the drought. So we planted some tomatoes, and this year the canneries didn't need that acreage, so we probably don't have enough water for them. But you know, tomatoes have been kicked out of our program because of that. It's a really difficult thing to do, and you know, we do what we can to hold on to our core crops, but we do need rotation. We need to have other crops because we're going to have probably more than a third of our land is going to be fallow.
Dalboski said they began planning out their annual crop mix last year, and they firmed up their melon plants late this winter. That's because most melons are not direct seeded anymore. Instead, growers order transplants from greenhouses, which custom grow them. He started putting the transplants in the ground in March, when at the time the CVP had announced 35% allocations for South of Delta ag contractors.
We started planting around, I think it was right around the 26th, 28th of March. And we typically start a little earlier, but the weather was not cooperating. So we were, you know, getting rains like every week, and we had to kind of work between the rains. We had to firm it up by early February because our watermelons, we have to put the seed into the greenhouse to start growing plant. And so we have to basically pull the trigger somewhere around early to middle February for the watermelons.
Had Del Bosque waited until they received more water, he said they would have been behind schedule and melon harvest would have missed the prime marketing window. And the not knowing about water supplies complicates planning.
It's tremendously difficult. You know, we have, without really telling you what acreage we have on melons, because that's kind of confidential, but we have a number of acres in production on melons that we target every year. And so we're going to target that with or without knowing the water. And what happens, of course, is if we're short of water, we have to go out and find water to make up the shortfall. So it's a tremendously risky thing. But, you know, if we don't plant it and if we don't plant our melons until we know the water well, we just missed it. We missed our season because we need to start harvesting around the last week in June. And if we don't plant in time for that, well, we'll lose our customers because our customers expect us during that time.
Most of Del Bosque's acreage is served by CVP Ag contractors, which announced 40% water allocations. He does have a small amount of ground served by CVP exchange contractors, which have older water rights that entitled them to 100% deliveries this year.
We're in several districts. Most of it is in a CVP contractor area, but we have a little bit in one of the exchange contractors districts. And we also have a little bit in another district that is a hybrid. It's a federal district that gets a little bit of water from CCID, from the exchange contractors.
The reduced water allocations are not the result of low reservoir levels or sparse snowpack. Instead, Del Bosque pointed to federal fishery agencies' biological opinions, which govern how pumps in the Delta are operated. The pumps pull water from the north across the Delta and deposit it in the California Aqueduct for transport south. If certain threatened or endangered species are nearby, the CVP and the State Water Project must reduce pumping. That's designed to reduce the chances of fish being caught in the pumps.
Well, this is my take on it, and I probably am not too far off. It isn't so much about how much rain and snowpack we have. And this year is not even about how much water we have in the reservoirs, because all of those are above normal. Reservoirs are above normal, precipitation above normal, snowpack is above normal. So why don't we have more? And that is the one thing that nobody can predict, and that is the operations in the Delta. Okay, and that's governed by the regulations as a result of the biological opinions in the Delta. And so if you have water over there and you can't get it here because of those, that's why they probably can't get us more. The pumps right now are throttled way back. I just looked the other day and, you know, our water comes through Jones pumping plant, and out of like either five or six pumps, there's only one running. That's all. Same thing with the state pumps. You know, out of their pumps are bigger. Out of all the pumps they've got the smallest one running. So there's a crimp in the system. That's the whole thing. There's water on the other side, but there's a crimp in the system right there at the Delta.
The impacts of reduced water deliveries go far beyond just fewer acres. Del Bosque said he can see the toll it's taking on his workers, many of whom have been with him for decades. Fewer acres means fewer jobs and fewer hours.
You know, there is less work for them. So, you know, we're not hiring them all back. Some of them we're not going to be able to hire back, and they're not going to work probably as many hours as they have in the past. So it is very difficult for them. And that's something that nobody quantifies that, because farm workers don't make a lot of noise. But we know it because we see it in their faces when we tell them we don't have work for them. or we see it in their faces when we tell them, I'm sorry, we're only going to work 5 days. We're not going to work 6 days. They feel it, and we know it.
Many within the ag community expect the Bureau of Reclamation to increase allocations by a small amount as runoff continues. But the end result will likely not be 100% deliveries for ag contractors this year. And it may be somewhat moot for producers who began planning for the 2024 season back in 2023. This is Vicki Boyd reporting for My Ag Life.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70 plus exhibits, first class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, APHIS, took another step towards limiting the impact of an outbreak of foreign animal diseases on Friday by amending and strengthening its animal disease traceability regulations for certain cattle and bison. By requiring electronic animal identification for certain cattle and bison, APHIS put into place the technology, tools, and processes to help industry stakeholders quickly pinpoint and respond to a foreign animal disease outbreak. A 1994 water treaty between the U.S. and Mexico is causing major issues due to severe drought. The agreement requires Mexico to send 1.7 million acre-feet of water from the Rio Grande to the U.S. over a five-year cycle. Currently, in year four of the cycle, Mexico has sent only about 30% of its expected deliveries, the lowest amount at this point of any four- or five-year cycle since 1992. According to data from the International Boundary and Water Commission, which oversees the treaty, Mexico's National Water Authority, CONAGUA, says severe drought has gotten worse and the country is facing the worst drought conditions since 2011. The Texas citrus industry is the largest in the U.S. after California and Florida, and is highly dependent on water from Mexico. According to Dale Murden, president of Texas Citrus Mutual, you can't count completely on rainfall. It's nice when it happens, but you need to control the water on the tree, he said. The Texas citrus industry is almost completely located in the lower Rio Grande Valley, with the most of the acreage in Hidalgo County and the remainder in Cameron and Willacy counties. Funding availability was recently announced by USDA for proposed projects constructing both on-farm and off-farm labor housing.
We are seeking to address a need that we've heard from across the country related to more farm labor and stable, affordable, suitable housing for that workforce.
What USDA Rural Development Undersecretary Basil Gooden is referring to is a recent notice of funding, $48 million for both off-farm and on-farm labor housing.
When we talk about the farm labor workforce, it's individuals that are either currently involved in agriculture or farm labor or retired from farm labor, given some restrictions, or disabled from farm labor and their families.
Funding applicants have until July 3rd to submit proposals for the off-farm labor housing program, with details via the Federal Register. On-farm labor housing applications are accepted on an ongoing basis, with information available at www.rd.usda.gov via the Programs and Service tab on the homepage. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Secretary Tom Vilsack announced major steps to promote the health of America's children with new standards for school meals that will be gradually updated to include less sugar and greater flexibility with menu planning between fall 2025 and fall 2027. K-12 schools serve nutritional breakfasts and lunches to nearly 30 million children every school day. These meals are the main source of nutrition for more than half of these children and help improve child health. USDA arrived at these changes after listening closely to public feedback and considering the latest science-based recommendations from the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. The new rule continues the work of the Biden-Harris administration to address both food and nutrition security. USDA's Equity Commission hosted a regional equity summit in partnership with the Texas Hispanic Farmers and Ranchers Conference in McAllen, Texas. At this event, Deputy Secretary Sochi Torres-Small announced that USDA is partnering with rural cooperatives, local organizations, and tribes to support high-speed internet deployment in 11 states, awarding $5.2 million in cooperative agreements through the Broadband Technical Assistance Program. This support, which was funded through President Biden's historic bipartisan infrastructure law, reflects the goals of President Biden's Investing in America agenda and will extend the reach of other high-speed internet programs to meet the administration's goal to connect every community in America with affordable, reliable, high-speed internet. Nearly 350 youth delegates from across the U.S. and its territories attended the 2024 National 4-H Conference in Washington, D.C. Secretary Vilsack spoke to young 4-H leaders and answered questions at the Secretary's Assembly about future opportunities in agriculture and at USDA. Deputy Secretary Torres-Small and Undersecretary for Research, Education, and Economics, and USDA's Chief Scientist, Shavonda Jacobs-Young, welcomed the delegates to the USDA headquarters and watched the raising of the 4-H flag.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Reports. I'm Haley Gilley. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.